Our second reading is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 12. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me." But he said to them, "Friend, who set me to be a judge or arbitrator over you?" And he said to them, "Take care. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions." Then he told them a parable. The land of a rich man produced abundantly, and he thought to himself, "What should I do, for I have no place to store my crops?" Then he said, "I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build larger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, 'Soul, you have ample goods to lay up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this very night your life is being demanded of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be?' So it is with those who store up treasures for themselves, but are not rich towards God." God's word is life.
So before I begin my homily, I would like you each to take your sheet of paper and your pencil and turn the paper over to the blank side. And I want you to write down the one thing that you want more than anything in this world. There's no right or wrong answer. Whatever you put down is right. So, and you won't have to, don't worry, you won't have to share it with anyone. All done? Now you can put your paper down for a bit till the end of the homily. So I thought the gospel was kind of, or the scripture reading today was kind of interesting for someone who's chaplain at a thrift shop. There were many directions I could have gone, but the Spirit does what the Spirit does, and I was surprised with what happened as I was writing this homily. But it is what it is, and that's the way it'll be. So, have you ever bought new stuff so that you can organize and hold your old stuff, so that you've got more room to make room for more stuff? Do you sometimes find that you bring home good boxes, knowing that someday you may have things to put into those boxes? Has the grammar of your life ever been predominantly in the first person singular? I want, oh, I need, I bought, I achieved. Have you ever bought something that made you feel better? Maybe because you were sad or lonely or angry or upset, and you wanted a new feeling more than a new thing, but you bought it anyway. I have. To all of the above. And if any of this sounds familiar to you, or if you answered yes like I did, or even if you didn't, but you can understand what I'm talking about, then you might just know something about greed in your own lives. And honestly, please hear this. I say this not as a judgment or as a criticism, but in honest recognition that I, and maybe you too, can be as much of a big barn builder as the guy in the parable that Jesus tells us about in that reading. Take care. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. And as Jesus warns, there are all kinds of greed. It might be books, or in my case, shoes, or any other tangible thing. It might be amassing money or land or wealth. But greed can also be about time and attention, approval, love, knowledge, power, control, being right, being in charge, or a thousand other things. But ultimately, greed is not about any of these things. Because those are just symptoms. They point to a deeper issue. And that issue is not about quantities, but about a condition of the heart. Greed is our human way of dealing with our own feelings of deficit and emptiness. It's not so much about having enough as it is about being enough. You see, when we believe ourselves to be deficient, we lose belief in ourselves. And when we feel that we're not enough, we get greedy. And we use other things and other people to fill that hole that's inside of us. So greed deceives and convinces us if we just have more than we do now, then we'll find that happiness or that contentment or that peace. And greed uses external things to deal with internal matters, but it rarely works because it leaves us wanting more, always seeking that next dollar, that next book, that next shoe, that next word of approval. And so greed steals and deprives us of what we really want the most. And Jesus ends the parable basically by saying, that's what happens and how it is with people who store up riches for themselves, but who are not rich towards God. I love that phrase. I've never heard it before, even though I've read that passage many times, but I never heard it before. Rich towards God. And being rich towards God means that we place the same value on the same things that God values, so that when our lives are demanded, we are more than our stuff. And I guess one way that our lives can be demanded are by giving them up. But another way our lives can be demanded is for us to live the life that we're given to the very fullest, because that's who God is. God is complete. Live them to the very fullest in the time that we have here on this earth. And it's exactly that by living life to the fullest, we find the antidote to greed. It's not necessarily cleaning out that closet or giving away some of our belongings, although in some cases that might be a good beginning point. The real work is the interior work of aligning our values to God's values. And it's when we are aligned with God's values that we can begin to address and work towards changing and eliminating all those unjust systems of this world that are built on greed, things that corrupt and destroy God's precious creation and people. To be rich towards God means we invest in ourselves and each other in the world in the same ways that God's revelation, Jesus, invested himself. Through God's values of love, mercy, compassion, justice, hope, courage, truth, beauty, generosity. For that's the wealth of God. And that's the wealth that really we created beings of God crave. And this is the life that God shares and invests in us through Jesus. To be rich towards God means that we begin with knowing we are already God's beloved treasure. And there's freedom in that. It's the freedom to live rich towards others and in our world. It reveals that there is enough to go around for everyone. It declares that each of us is of equal worth and value, so we don't have to be in competition. Because God wants us to have meaning and purpose in our lives and have lives that are filled with joy. God wants for us to live in a world of peace. God wants for us to look in a mirror and see our own beauty and trust in our own goodness and discover our own holiness. God wills for us to love and to be loved unconditionally. And we find that when we choose to be rich in God, because that's the starting point where we can imagine and discover all those wonderful possibilities for our lives and for the life of the world. So I want you to get out your sheet of paper and your pencil again and turn it over to the present side. I want you to take a moment to imagine that God wants to give you a gift. What is that gift God wants to give you? And write it down somewhere on that present. And then I invite you to look at the back, at what you wrote. And then look at the front, at what you wrote. Are you and God in alignment? And are you rich towards God? Amen.